this year's lectures for our Women's Beit Midrash program, and we're really excited to have with us Michal Horowitz speaking on the topic of Zman Simchatenu, achieving Simcha in our Avodas Hashem, even in difficult times. This year is co-sponsored by Juliet and Torin Rutner in honor of their children, Jared and Atara, Alana and Evan, Chana, Jacob and Rachel, and for Refuah Shleima for Yom Tov Liva Ben Thea, and by Dori and Rich Sobin in memory of Dori's father, Yaakov Pesach Tzidkiyahu Ben Kalman Zev, on the occasion of his 12th Yortzeit. So Michal Horowitz is a speaker at Yeshiva University's Midrashet Yom Rishon. She has published articles in YU's Torah to Go and has been a featured speaker for the last 4 years at the YU Reitz Shavuos Yarchei Kala. Mrs. Horowitz is a featured speaker on the Speakers Bureau of the Orthodox Union and is a regular speaker for the OU's Torah Inecha program. She has been a guest lecturer and scholar in residence in schools and communities around the country. She has hundreds of shiurim online, which can be found at yutorah.org, torahanytime.org, and out in outinoutorah.org. Mrs. Horowitz lives in Woodmere, New York, with her husband and children. Thank you again to our sponsors, and I'm looking forward to this year. So without further ado, I'm going to unmute myself, and it's all you.
Okay, very nice. Thank you for inviting me to speak this evening. It's an honor and pleasure to be here, even though really we're all in the privacy of our homes. We are, Baruch Hashem, coming together with technology. And I want to thank you all for joining this shiur, as well as to the sponsors of this evening's shiur. So tonight we're talking about the topic of Simcha. Simcha specifically as it relates to Chag HaSukkos. It is about 48 hours, a little bit less even, before we will begin the upcoming, the third of the Shalosh Regalim. It began with Pesach and Zman Cheruseinu, and then we go to Shavuos, Zman Matan Torahseinu, culminates in the festival of Sukkos, which is known as Zman Simchaseinu, the festival of our rejoicing. And I would like to speak about this topic and this concept of Simcha. From where does Simcha come from? What does the Torah viewpoint on Simcha? Why is it so integral to this festival? I'm going to begin by screen sharing, but I want to show you two different places in the Chumash where the Yom Tov of Sukkos is delineated for us. So I'm going to now screen share, which is why I asked to be made into a co-host, and I prepared it on my screen for you. Can you see my screen? Yes, okay. So we have gone to Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Emor, Parak Chaf Gimel. We are in chapter 23 of the book of Vayikra, where the Torah goes through the calendar year. And in Parak Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, chapter 23, verse 33, Vayidaber Hashem and Moshe Lemor, God spoke to Moshe saying, Daber al b'nei Yisrael Lemor, speak to the children of Israel saying, B'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh hashvi'i hazeh, on the 15th day of the 7th month. The Torah counts the months from Nisan. So counting from Nisan, what we call Tishrei is the 7th day. On the 15th day of the 7th month, which is the 15th of Tishrei, Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yamim LaHashem, you shall celebrate the festival of Sukkos for 7 days to Hashem. Bayam HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, on the first day is a calling of holiness. What does it mean, a calling of holiness? At this point on my screen, I do not have Rashi. Actually, I could go to Rashi right here with you. What does it mean, a calling of holiness? So Rashi says right here, I put Rashi on the screen, Mikra Kodesh, Kadshehu b'chisus nikia ubitafila. Yom Tov should not be like Yemei HaChol. Yom Tov should be special. The festival should be sanctified. The festival should be sanctified with clean clothing. We should have special clothing for Yom Tov. With special b'tefilos, ubishar yamim tovim, unlike the other yamim tovim, b'machal, ubimishta, you should have nice foods, you should have feasting, ubichisus, and with nice clothing, clean clothing, ubitafila. So your Yom Tov should feel different than all the rest of the days of the week. By Yom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, on the first day, it's a calling of holiness. Kol Malachas Avoda Lo Ta'asu, all work you shall not do. For 7 days, you shall offer an Ishei offering to Hashem. And on the 8th day, it is a calling of holiness as well. You shall offer a burnt offering for God. Atzerasi. This is what we call Shmini Atzeras. So there you have Bayom Hashmini on the 8th day. Atzerasi. You put that together. Shmini Atzeras. So the first day is the Yom Tov of Sukkos. The last day is the Yom Tov of Shmini Atzeras. Why is it called Shmini Atzeras? So Rashi tells us right here, we're in Parachof Gimel of the book of Vayikra, Pasuk Lamed Vav. What is Atzeras? etmin. Atzarti etchem etzli. I stopped you by me, Hashem says. La atzar is to stop. Hashem says, wait a minute, stop. Before you go through the winter season, before you leave me on the third of the Shalosh Regalim, stop. Kemelach, Rashi gives a famous mashal, like a king. Shezimein es banav l'su'uda. Lekach v'kach yamim, Rashi says, it's like a king who invited his children to a feast of the king for a certain amount of days. Kevan shehigiyaz manan lipater. Once their time came to depart from the king, Amar, the king said, Banai, my sons, b'vakasha mikem, akvu imi od yom echad. You know what the king says? I don't want you to leave. The time of feasting on closest should not yet be over. Stay with me one more day. This is the topic and the concept and the application behind Shmini Atzeres. So Hashem says, wow, you were here for all these days. We celebrated together dwelling in the Sukkos. Please stay with me. It's hard for me if you leave me. Kasha alai. It's so hard for me, says the king. Pirei daschem, famous phrase. It's hard for me if you leave me. So on the first day we have Sukkos. On the last day we have Shmini Atzeres. Hashem doesn't want to let us leave. These are the festival of gods that you should call them, calling of holiness to bring the fire offerings for God. Ach, b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh hashvi'i, on the 15th day of the 7th month, b'as b'cham es tuas ha'aretz, when you gather in the crops of the land. So Sukkos is an agricultural festival. It is in the fall, right before the winter season, and before the days of Amazon Prime and Costco, whatever they call it, Costco Instacart that comes immediately to your house, and Stop and Shop delivered, and before the groceries were full. How did you get your food, and how did you get your produce? You went into the field, and you gather everything in. So in the fall, before winter comes, you need to go to the field and gather in everything in your field so it'll get you through the winter. And that's exactly what Sukkos is. It is a harvest festival on the 15th of the 7th day when you gather in the produce of the land. Tachogu es chag Hashem shivat yomim. You shall celebrate a yom tov for God for 7 days. When you see how much bounty the Ribono Shel Olam gives you, when you gather in all your crops, you say, wow, look how much I have. Thank you, Hashem. Bayom harishon shabbaton, the first day. In Eretz Yisrael, of course, there's only one day Yom Tov. In Chutzar, it's part of the curse of Galus, as we celebrate 2 days of Yom Tov. But there are Raisa, on the first day, it is a day of rest. Ubayom HaShmini, on Shmini Atzeres, it's also a day of rest. Famous Pasuk, Parachav Gimel, Pasuk Mem. Ulakachtam Lacham Bayom HaRishon. You shall take for yourselves on the first day. Pre-Eitz Hadar, actually I'm going to do this Rashi. We cannot identify clearly the Arba Minim, the Dalad Minim, without Torah Shabbat Peh. Rashi here quotes the sages. What are the four species? Ulakachtam lachem bayom harishon. You should take for yourself on the first day. Pre-Eitz Hadar. What is a pre-Eitz Hadar? Rashi says, Hadar be'ilah. No, it is splendorous in its tree. Mishana lashana, the fruit stays on its tree. It's a fruit of splendor from year to year. V'zeh esrog. So ulakachtam lachem bayom harishon. You should take for yourself on the first day pre-Eitz Hadar. Rashi says this is the Esrog Kapot Timarim. Kapot Timarim. What is Kapot Timarim? Teaches you that there's only one. It's the palm frond. This is what we know as the Lulav, the Anaf Eitz Avos. What are the Anaf Eitz Avos? Rashi says this is the Hadas, the Arvei Nachal, the Aravos. Okay, so we have here in Vayikra Perchav Gimel Pasuk Mem the mitzvah de Oraisa to take the four species. We take for ourselves the fruit of the tree of splendor. We saw Rashi says this is the Esrog, Kapost Marim is the Lulav, Anaf Eitz Avos is the Hadasim, Arve Nachal is the Aravos. Usimachtem, I'm going back to here, Usimachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yamim, and you shall have Simcha, you shall rejoice. This Yom Tov is known as Zman Simcha, the time of our rejoicing, and you shall rejoice before Hashem your God for 7 days. Now it's interesting, keep in mind that in Pasuk Lamed Tes we just saw that this is a harvest festival. It is a time to gather in all the crops and all the produce. The farmer worked so hard. I've seen it a couple of places. How did it develop in modern times, much more modern times in America, that there is summer vacation? Why are the children not in school in the summer? So some of you may be familiar with this. That is because it used to be in agricultural times in America, so not long ago, not in temple times, not in biblical times, but the children were needed on the farm in the summer and in the late summer to tend to the fields along with their fathers. And therefore, they had no time for school. In the winter, in the fall, everything's in the house already. In the winter time, everything's in the house already, but the children were needed as extra hands on the farm, especially as summer's going out. So this is a harvest festival, a time when we bring in all the bounty. And what do we use to celebrate the bounty of the harvest? Plants. An esrog, lulav from the tamarim, hadassim, and aravos. It's a festival of celebration of everything that has grown in our land. I mean, I'm not making this up. You see the psukim in front of you on the screen. And therefore, you utilize as the davar mitzvah on Sukkos, the arb baminim. And the Torah says, usimachtem lufnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim. And you shall rejoice before Hashem your God for 7 days. V'chagosim oso chag la'Hashem shivas yamim b'shana. You shall celebrate this for 7 days in the year. You shall celebrate this, a festival to God, 7 days in the year, an eternal statue for generations. In the seventh month, what we call Tishrei, you shall celebrate this festival. Why do we celebrate Sukkos? So we celebrate Pesach because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we celebrate Shavuos as a commemoration of Zman Matan Torasenu. In the Tfilos, we add in that it's Zman Matan Torasenu. What about Sukkos and Zman Simchasenu? So the Pasuk says, why? But Sukkos Teishu Shivas, oh, sorry. Okay, you shall set in Sukkos for 7 days. Even the convert amongst you, says Rashi, Laman Yedu Dorasechem, so your generations will know. Ki basukos Hoshakti Espene Yisrael. In Sukkos, I caused the children of Israel to dwell. Behotzi Osam Me Eretz Mitzrayim. When I took them out from the land of Egypt. What does it mean we sat in Sukkos when we left the land of Egypt? So Rashi says, oh, I lost the Rashi. Rashi says, you could see it right here, Anane Kavod. What does it mean Hashem sat us in Sukkos? Like what we sit in today, whether you have wood or you have Coca-Cola crates or you have something in between. What does it mean He sat us in Sukkos? Anane Kavod, God caused us to dwell, or He put us in His protection of the clouds of glory, and we were protected from the snakes, and we were protected from the scorpions, and from the heat, and the Egyptians by Yamsuf, and the sand, and the wind, and the dust, and God protected us in His Anane Kavod. So when we rejoice in our Zman Simchasenu, our festival of Sukkos, we shall all remember that God caused us to sit in Sukkos when we left Egypt. Ani Hashem. And I want to point out, because we're going to be coming back to this, so this is an overview with a few Rashis from Parshas Emor, Sefer Vayikra, Parak Chav Gimel, where we have clearly the mitzvah of Sukkos, including the Dalid Minim, the Arba Minim, the idea that this is an agricultural festival to bring in the produce into our home. And we have an explicit command, Usimachtem lufnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim. You shall rejoice before Hashem your God for 7 days. Now, interestingly, there is another time in the Torah that we have Sukkos associated with the concept of Sim. I am not in Sefer Vayikra anymore. I am now in the Book of Devarim, Perek Tes Zayin. This is Parshas Re'eh. And the Pasuk says, here we go, Chag HaSukkos Taselach HaShivas Yamim. We already saw this. The festival of Sukkos you shall make for yourself for 7 days. Once again, Ba'aspecha Migarnecha Umiyakvecha, when you take in from your threshing floor and your wine press. So both places, both in Vayikra 23 and in Devarim 16, you see that Sukkos is associated with the taking in of the crops and the produce from the threshing floor, from the fields, from the wine press to sustain us through the winter. And like in Vayikra 23, just like the bringing in of the crops is associated with Simcha, V'samachta B'chagecha, you shall rejoice on your festival, Ata, Uvincha, Uvitecha, Va'abdecha, Va'masecha. You shall rejoice with your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, Vahalevi, and the Levite, Vahagir, and the convert, Vahayasam, Vahalmana, and the orphan and the widow, Asher Bisharvacha. Rashi tells us on this parak that if you are misameach Hashem's for Levi, Ger, Yasum, and Almana, which you already translated, then God will be sameach my for Bincha, Bitecha, Abdecha, Va'amascha. So it's a deal, so to speak. Hashem says, if you on your festival go beyond your immediate family and you take care of my for, says Hashem, the Levi, the convert very often may not have extended family, may not have people to take care of him. If you take care of the Levi and the convert and the orphan and the widow, says Hashem, I will take care of your four, your son, your daughter, your maidservant, your manservant, and your maidservant. Shivas yamim tachog l'Hashem elokecha. For 7 days you shall have a festival to Hashem your God in the place that God has chosen, because Hashem will bless you with all of your crops. Once again, it is associated with an agricultural festival and with all the work of your hand. V'hayisa ach samech. So the famous song v'samachta b'chagecha, v'hayisa ach samech, actually comes from two back-to-back psukim in Devarim Tes Zayin Parshas Re'eh. Pasuk Yudalot opens with v'samachta b'chagecha, and Pasuk Tesvav ends with v'hayisa ach samech. So we have this inyan of intense rejoicing on Sukkos. We had in Parshas Amor, we are told, after it tells us to take the four species, Usamach l'mufnei Hashem elkechem shivas yamim, you shall rejoice before Hashem your God for 7 days. And then we are told once again in Re'eh, a double lashon of simcha, and it's unique to Sukkos. When you look at Pesach in Parshas Re'eh, I'm not going to go back to the Pesukim right now, you don't see the lashon of simcha used at all. When you go back to Shavuos in Parshas Re'eh, the lashon of simcha is used one time. Only in regard to Sukkos are we told that you shall rejoice for 7 days. Okay, so now let's look at this pasuk carefully. Parak Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Mem. We already looked at it. I want you to pay attention because I'm going to stop screen sharing now that we have gone through these two passages in the Torah with some understanding of the text in regard to Chag HaSukkos. It's always a very good place to start. What exactly does the Torah want from me? What exactly does the Torah write about these festivals? Sometimes we're so used to celebrating a certain way. We have sometimes preconceived notions about a festival that it's important to see how Hashem wrote the instructions. What exactly does the So now that we have looked at the Pesukim, I want you to consider this Pasuk, because after that I'm going to stop screen sharing. We need it. Ulakachtam lachem bayom harishon. You shall take for yourself on the first day. Pri Eitz Hadar. We already saw Rashi, that is the Eshok. Kapos Tumarim, the Lulav. The Anaf Eitz Avos. We saw in Rashi, the Hadas. The Arveinacha, the Aravos. That's the first half of this Pasuk. Immediately after, we are told in Pasuk Lamed Tes that it is an agricultural festival where we gather in the produce. We are told to take these four different types of plants, plant life, to celebrate the produce, to celebrate the festival. Second half of the pasuk, Usamach l'mufnei Hashem elokechem shivas yamim, you shall rejoice before Hashem your God for 7 days. We also saw in Parshas Re'eh the idea of simcha mentioned two times, v'samach l'bichagecha v'hayisa ach samech. So there is clearly a message of simcha very deeply ingrained into the topic and the concept of Sukkos, so much so that in our tefillos we call Sukkos Zman Simchaseinu, the time of our rejoicing. Before I get to the topic of simcha, I want to address the first half of the pasuk. The first half of the pasuk commanded me to take four species. The dalet minim, lakach dam lachem b'yam arishon, pri eitz hadar, kapos timarim, anaf eitz avos, va'arve nacha. I'm going to quote a very famous medrash. I'm quoting from Parsha Parables, Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, but I am sure that many of you have heard this very famous teaching of Chazal before. Chazal say that the four species that must come together in order to fulfill the mitzvah of dalet minim represent four types of Jews. So, there are four species, each with its unique attributes. The lulav has taste, but no aroma. Okay? The lulav has taste, but no smell. I never tasted it. I don't know. It has taste, but no smell. The hadas is translated as myrtle, has smell, but no taste. The esrog has both taste and smell, one of my favorite smells of the year. And the arava is famous, has no taste and no aroma. So what do we learn from the fact that on the spectrum of taste and smell, you start with the esrog, which has intense smell and taste, all the way to the arava, which has no taste and no smell, and in between you have the lulav, which has, we said, taste but no aroma, hadas, which has aroma but no taste, and you put them all together. So it's very, very famous, and Chazal explained that these represent four different kinds of Jews. The Esrog is the Jew with taste and smell who has Torah learning and Maisim Tovim, good deeds. We might want to call him the Tzaddik. He's the perfect Jew. He immerses himself in a life of Torah learning, and he follows up with good deeds. He doesn't only learn for intellectual stimulation. He learns in order to do. He's a great guy. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have the lowly Arava. The Arava has no taste, and it has no smell. And who does that represent? The Jew who doesn't bother with the Torah learning. He has no Torah learning in his life, and he doesn't even have Maisim Tovim. We might call him the Rasha. It's interesting that there are four sons at the first of the Shalosh Regalim, and there are four Minim that represent four types of Jews on the last of the Shalosh Regalim. In between that, you have the Hadas and the Lulav, which each represents one Jew has taste, Torah learning, but no Maisim Tovim. He learns because he enjoys the intellectual stimulation. And that's not the point of learning. Certainly not as an Eved Hashem. It's very nice to be intellectually stimulated. And I, Baruch Hashem, thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for Ata Chonin La'adam Da'as. But if I don't apply my learning, then what do I have? Just Torah learning. If I don't apply it into good deeds and Asiyas HaMitzvos, then I really don't have very much. And then you have the Jew who doesn't immerse himself in a life of Torah learning, but he has good deeds. And this is the spectrum. The perfect Jew, you could say, even though I'm not sure what perfection is, only the Ribbono Shel Olam is perfect, capital P, but the perfect Jew who has Torah and good deeds. The Arava is the Jew who doesn't have Torah and doesn't have good deeds, and the Lulav and the Hadas represent one who has good deeds, no Torah, one who has Torah, no good deeds. But the Ribbono Shel Olam says, take them all together. It's a very famous vart of Chazal. They all have to come together. And that is part of, I'm going to say, an integral component of the Sukkos festival. I was wondering to myself, what's the connection between the first half of the pasuk, Vayikra 23:40? I told you I'm going to stop the screen share, so focus on this pasuk. The first part of the pasuk says, you shall take for yourself on the first day the esrog, the lulav, this isn't the lashon of the pasuk, but I already told it to you a few times, the hadas and the arava. And the second half of the pasuk says, usimachtem lufnei Hashem Elokechem shivas yamin. What's the connection between taking the four species and simcha? Perhaps we can answer that the connection is when all kinds of Jews come together in one aguda achas, in one bundle, when we are united, that's the greatest simcha. That's the tzaddik. Kapus, tmarim, anafei, salvos. They're the guys who are the beinonim. They have some, but not all. Va'arvei nachal, he has nothing. We don't even want him. No, we do want him, says Ribbono Shel Olam. Then, when you take all four together, then you can truly say, usimachtum ufnei Hashem elkechem shivas yamim, I will have simcha for 7 days, because I have the idea of tzibur, of kihila, of aguda achas, of all Jews uniting together to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. I heard Rabbi Zev Lof say, from Moshav Matityahu in Eretz Yisrael, a number of weeks ago in a shir, he pointed out that tzibur, okay, the word for congregation, Chazal tell us in Pirkei Avos, al tifrosh min hatzibur. You should not separate from the assembly. You should not separate from the community. You should always be, no matter what type of Jew you are, you have to remember you belong in an assembly of Jews. And he said that tzibur, tzadi, beis, reish, is an acronym. What does it stand for? Tzadik stands for the tzadikim. You could say that that guy is the esrog. Bey stands for the beinonim, the kacha kacha. Either they have Torah learning or they have good deeds, but they don't have both. Which leaves the resh. And then by process of elimination, what does the resh stand for? The rasha, which we would say represents the arava. No taste, no scent. However, in order to have a united kehila, and in order to have Simchas Yom Tov, the Ribbono Shel Olam requires all types of Jews to come together in one bundle. We must all come together. And it's interesting to me, and we take the lulav is specifically bound with the aravos and the hadasim. And neither of those three represent the tzaddik. The esrog is held next to, but not bound together. It's almost as if we're saying, take these three who are lacking something and have them come close to the esrog to be influenced by the Gadol HaDor, to be influenced by the Rav, to be influenced by the tzaddik. Bring them all together in a bundle, but recognize that the esrog, in a sense, still stands alone, but together with the kehila. When do we have the most impact? When all types of Jews can come together. Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky tells over, if you've ever learned through his Parsha Parable series on the Torah, he always asks a question, or he brings a teaching of Chazal, like the teaching that I just gave over, that the four species represent four different types of Jews, and he illustrates it with a vignette or a parable or some sort of joke. So he tells a very cute story, and he says, my parents, his father, Zatzal, was Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky, a son of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Gadol Hador, Zecher Tzadik Kaddish Levracha. And Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky, Zatzal, and his Rabbitson moved here, I live in Woodman, New York, moved to the Five Towns, and really built up the community. And before they came here, there was really not much in terms of Torah and Yiddishkeit. So Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky writes about his father and his mother. My parents moved to the Five Towns of Long Island long before the first Sputnik was launched and before I was born. So we're going back, the story goes back 60, 65 years ago when there was really nothing here. At that time, there were few such institutions of Torah education on Long Island. As such, my three sisters had a difficult time adjusting to the move from their small apartment in East New York to the modernity of suburbia. As the family settled in, my youngest sister, Shoshana, became friends with Beth, a Jewish child, but she hardly knew what it meant to be Jewish. On her third Shabbos in Woodmere, my sister, Shoshana, was out early. She was going to synagogue, the one my father had just established. Beth stared at her friend, dressed up for no apparent reason, and she said to her, on a Saturday morning, you're all dressed up. Where are you going, Shawnee? She asked, to shul. My sister looked at her frilly pink dress and repeated, I am going to shul. Shul? Beth repeated incredulously. What is shul? Shul? Asked Shoshana. What do you mean, what is shul? Shul is shul. The conversation bounced back and forth for a minute until Beth's father came out of the house. He was dressed in overalls and carrying his gardening tools. Dad, says Beth, Shawnee's all dressed up and she says she's going to shul. What is shul? Oh, Beth, her father exclaimed, shul is temple. My sister's eyes widened in unease. Temple, she said? What is temple? Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky writes, there are saints and sinners amongst us, but when we celebrate Sukkos, we are one people. There are those filled with delicious taste of Torah and the sweet fragrance of good deeds, and there are those who are as prosaic as a willow. Yet in trepidation and jubilation, we join together as Jews. We must include everyone. The Esrog must search for the Arava. It is a great opportunity, a perfect time, to find someone who is missing taste or aroma or both, and have him wake up and smell the scent of the Esrog. And I think that it's just interesting that we take the Lulav, and the Lulav is actually bound with the Hadassim and the Aravos, and the Esrog is not. The Esrog is taken together with them, but separate, almost as if the Esrog has the most influence on those three, but without one of the four, we have not fulfilled the mitzvahs of the Dalad Minyan. So this is on the first half of the Pasuk, and I think it relates strongly to the second half of the Pasuk, only if we recognize that all Jews must come together. Tzibur, like Rabbi Zev left taught, Tzadik Beinoni Rasha, Al Tifrosh, do not separate. No matter what type of Jew you are, you belong here. In fact, Rabbi Lev pointed out that when do we beat the Arava on the ground? When he's separate, when he stands by himself, Hoshana Rabbah, then we give him a clap, because then he separated from the community. Oh, you separate yourself? Now we can give you a patch. But as long as you're together, it's the understanding that every Jew counts. So therefore, Vayikra, Chav Gimel, Pasuk Mem, Ulekach Dam Lachem B'yam HaRishon, Pre-Eitz Hadar, Esrog, Kapos Tamarim Lulav, Anaf Eitz Avos Hadas, Arvei Nacha Aravos. And the second half of the Pasuk, which is what I want to talk about now, Usamach Dam Lufnei Hashem Elkechem Shivas Yamim. So we already looked at the Pshat, and we understood from the Pshat that this is an agricultural harvest festival. And of course you rejoice when you bring in the bounty that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you. When you see how much you have, you say, Baruch Hashem, look what I have to get me through the winter. You have rejoicing. And in that sense, the four species represents the bounty of the harvest festival. You take plants, beautiful plants, to represent the produce that has grown in your land. On a deeper, much deeper midrashic level, those four species represent four types of Jews. And when Jews come together, that's the greatest source of simcha. When we have achdus, then we are truly besimcha before the Ribono Shel Olam. I want to talk more now about the second half of the pasuk in isolation. Usimachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. We've understood the two halves of the pasukim, first according to Pshat, and then according to Drash, which I just reviewed. But what about the second half of the pasuk? Simcha. Usimachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim. Rav Elimelech Biderman has a profound, unbelievable, powerful pshat into this pasuk. Listen carefully. Ulakachtem lachem bayom harishon. Pri eitz hadar kapost marim anaf eitz avos v'arvenacha. Usimachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim. Here you have two different mitzvos de'oraisa. The first mitzvah de'oraisa is to take the arba minim. The second mitzvah de'oraisa is to be besimcha. Which mitzvah is greater? Rav Elimelech Biderman, I'm sure you've heard of Rav Biderman, Rav Meilech, Mashpia, Chassidic Rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. He made Tzion Teitzei Torah, Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Rav Elimelech Biderman says, the mitzvah de'oraisa, to take the arba minim, is on one day. Lekachtam lachem b'yom harishon. Now don't leave the shir and think it means that people have to take the arba minim only on the first day. That's not what I said. I said de'oraisa. Of course we cannot celebrate de'oraisa without derabbanan. So we're going to take the dalet minim for all the days of the festival, not Shabbos, because the first day it's muktzah. Fine. But de'oraisa, the lashon is ulakachtam lachem bayam harishon. You should take the arba meaning for one day. What's the second half of the puzzle? You should all know it off by heart now, along with me, because I've said it so many times. Usimachtam ufnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim. Which is a greater mitzvah de'oraisa? Says Rav Elimelech Biderman, the mitzvah of dalet minim, or the mitzvah to have simcha on the yom tov. Well, the pshat is very clear. You take Dalet Minim, the Esrog, the Lulav, the Hadas, and the Aravos in the order that it's listed in the Pasuk on one day. But to be besimcha, 7 days. So Rav Elimelech Biderman says, so this Pasuk you learn the tremendous importance of Ivdu as Hashem besimcha, chapter 100 of Tehillim, Ba'ulufan of Birnana. You must serve God. You have to be an Eved Hashem. Yivdu, Eved, it's hard work to be besimcha. Ba'olafana bernana, come before him with song, with exaltation. I think that this year especially, it's very important to understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us as much as possible to cultivate the midah of simcha, so we can fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. And in both passages in the Torah, both in Vayikra, Perek Chav Gimel, and in Devarim, Perek Tes Zayin, you see this aspect of Simcha associated with Sukkos. In Devarim, Tes Zayin, Parshas Re'eh, we are told a double lashon. V'samachta b'chagecha, ato vincha, avdecha v'amascha, halevi v'agera, we went through it, v'hayisa ach samech. You shall be happy on the festival. Even when it's hard for you. Even in a year when everything's so strange. Even when you can't imagine how long the pandemic is going on. Even when you're tired of living each day with the nisyonos the pandemic presents to us. The isolation from people. The seclusion. I know many people, maybe some of you, who are alone for Pesach. Who are alone for Shavuos, who can't believe they'll be alone for the Shalosh Regalim, the third one, Sukkos. And maybe you turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam and you say, seriously, you want me to be besimcha? On this kind of Yom Tov? When the world is steeped in a time of emergency, when it is an Eis Tzara LeYaakov, when our schools are starting to be shut down, Aselaman Tinoko Shel Beis Rabbanan, we just said it on Yom Kippurim. What about the Batei Midrashos? We all remember when our shuls, I'm going to shul, says Shani / Shoshan. What shul? Shul's temple. We all remember the davening b'yechidus. I don't know. Our Rav has not announced here with Akiva Willow what will be with Hallel this year, with Hoshanos this year, with Simchas Torah this year. Yet Simchat Torah. Simchas Torah. Ba'isa Ach Sameach. It's a festival that demands simcha. And it requires us to ask From where do we find simcha? What is the source of our simcha? Do we find it in external things? Or is it an internal midah through which we can fulfill the mitzvah? I'm now going to quote, so powerful. You must listen very carefully. This book is called The Rabbi and the Nuns. Before you laugh at the title, it's by Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky Shlita. Okay? So if there is a more well-respected rabbi doctor in America, it would be, might be hard to find. So Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky tells the following. I love his teachings. He's so brilliant, but so profound. He's so astute and attuned to human character and human nature. If you never read any of his books, you should go get some. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky writes as follows. Listen very carefully. I hope you were listening until now, but if you weren't, listen now. My mother certainly had a great influence on me, although it was more subtle than my father's. I was not aware of some of her contributions, he writes, until later in life. One of the things she often repeated was the holy teachings of the sages, Pirkei Avos. Do not judge a person until you have been in his position. Al tadin es chavercha ad shetagei lemkomo. This has been my guiding principle throughout my life. My mother used to tell me bedtime stories. She did not have a huge repertoire, so I heard the same stories many times. There was one story that I had not thought of in more than 30 years till I met the following patient. I'm not going to bother to tell you about the patient. I'm going to tell you the bedtime story his mother used to tell him. Don't forget what we're talking about. Usamachtum of Neshem Elkechem Shivas Yamim and Taker of Alimach Biderman says, Shivas Yamim for Simcha, one day for Arba Minim. De Oraisa, the mitzvah to have Simcha on Yom Tov is greater than Arba Minim. We take a magnifying glass to make sure the Ezrog is 1,000% kosher, 1,000,000% kosher. It has the bumps that I want, the ridges that I want, the color that I want, the pitum that I want. Do we take a magnifying glass to see what my internal state of simcha is when I come to serve the Rebbe? I'm not making fun. Chalila v'chas of examining your Ezrog. It should be kosher. There are people who go to the Rav after they purchase the Arba Minim to make sure it's kosher. It's good. It should be kosher. You know what else should be kosher? Me. The first half of the Pasuk, we went through it according to the Pshat, Harvest Festival. Drash, all kinds of Jews together. First Pshat, when you realize how much bounty you have, you'll be happy. That's the connection between the two halves of the Pasuk. Drash, when all Jews come together, we'll be happy. Now we're talking about Simcha. And what is the source of our Simcha? Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky's mother would tell him the following bedtime story. Once there was a stone cutter who earned his living hewing slabs of stone from a mountain. He often bewailed his sorry fate. I have to work from dawn to dusk, breaking my back, lifting this heavy pickaxe all day, he cried. And even with all of this hard work, I barely earn enough to put bread on the table for my family. What a sorry fate is mine. One day, the stonecutter was hewing from the side of the mountain, and he heard a great tumult. He climbed to the peak of the mountain. He could see from afar there was a parade in the city. The king was in a royal procession, and people lined the streets, and they were shouting, "Bravo! Long live the king! Long live the king!" And they were throwing flowers and bowing down before the royal coach. The stonecutter raised his eyes to heaven, and he said, "Dear Lord, you are a just God. The king and I are both human beings. Where is the justice? He should be so mighty and powerful, honored and rich. I should be so downtrodden and lonely, poor and despised. If you indeed are a just God, you will give me the opportunity to be as mighty as that king." Suddenly, he felt himself transformed. God had answered his prayer. The stonecutter was the mighty king. Wow! He was the center of attention in the royal parade. He received accolades from thousands of subjects. They were bowing down to him. They were throwing flowers on him. "Long live the king!" they shouted to him. How thrilling! He was so powerful. But after a few minutes, he began to feel very uncomfortable. He was clad in his royal garments, wearing a heavy crown of the king, wearing a velvet robe. He was wilting in the heat as the sun's rays fell upon him. "What?" he said. "The mighty sun is greater than the king? The sun must be more powerful. I wish to be the sun. This is not a fairy tale. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky tells us over. I'm quoting from pages 32 to 33 in The Rabbi and the Nuns. He was transformed into the sun. He enjoyed his unequal power. He could make things grow. He could heat the water. He could heat the earth. People loved him. But one day, as the sun, he was frustrated. A dark cloud passed beneath him. He was not allowed to have his rays penetrate to the earth. What? A measly cloud can frustrate the sun? The cloud must be more powerful than the sun. I wish to be a cloud. As a cloud, he took great pleasure in frustrating the sun, in bringing rain to the earth. But one day, a sharp gust of wind blew his cloud away. And he said, the wind must be mightier than a cloud. I want to be the wind. As the wind, he was ferocious. He caused tidal waves. He leveled forests. He blew down sukkos. But suddenly, he was stumped. One day, the wind encountered a tall mountain. And he could not blow down the mountain. That strong mountain resisted his strongest gusts. If a mountain is mightier than the wind, he said, I wish to be a tall mountain. And God answered his prayers and made him the tallest mountain on earth, and he dwarfed everything else on earth. He was indeed the most powerful. But one day he felt a sharp pain. A stone cutter wielding a pickaxe was hewing the side of his mountain. And he said, if a stone cutter can dismantle a mountain, then a stone cutter must be more mighty than even the greatest mountain. I, a mountain, wish to be a stone cutter. And so he became the mightiest of all. God answered his prayers, and he was a stone cutter once again. It's a little humorous and a lot powerful and more than a little sobering. Where does our simcha come from? Am I always looking at somebody? I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. Am I always looking at someone else, at the success they have, the family they have, the vacation home they have, the parnasa they have, the grandchildren they have, the job that they have, the food that they have, the car that they have? If only I had that, we think, then I would be happy. And if only I had this, then I would be happy. Not for naught is there an expression in English, the grass is always greener on the other side. So the stone cutter wanted to be a king, and the king wanted to be the sun, and the sun wanted to be the cloud, and the cloud wanted to be the wind, and the wind wants to be the mountain. And the mountain wants to be the stone cutter. When I was 5 years old, comments Rabbi Dr. Twersky, I could not appreciate the wisdom of this bedtime story. It only became apparent to me many years later. Quote, a person with internal happiness can adjust to whatever position he attains. And I will add, a person with internal happiness can adjust to whatever situation he finds himself in life. A person, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, who seeks simcha, happiness, in external sources will never be satisfied. He may be obstinate in making constant changes in the expectation that something will relieve his discontent. And each change brings fleeting relief. But ultimately, he will exhaust himself in a futile search for happiness. We looked at the pasuk according to the pshat. It's a harvest festival. And I don't remember where it is in Chumash, but the Baal Turim, it's in one of those two parshios. And I didn't plan to say, which is why I didn't look it up before Shir. It only came to me in the middle of Shir. The Baal Turim says, the pshat, when you realize how much bounty you have, of course you're going to have simcha in life. That's the pshat. Remember, we're Vayikra 23:40. To quote Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter, that's the point of departure for our Shir. And you realize all of the bounty, you're going to be happy. Pshat. Drash. When all kinds of Jews come together, you're going to have simcha. And finally, third interpretation. Usimachtem lifnei Hashem lokechem. You know when you have simcha in life? When you're lifnei Hashem. That's the only source of everlasting, constant, internal simcha. usamachtem lefnei Hashem Elokichem. When we live for other people's opinions, when we live to keep up with the Schwartzes or whatever they call it, when we live to have someone else's vacation home, someone else's life, someone else's children, someone else's spouse, someone else's schooling, someone else's education, someone else's job, someone else's bank account, then I'm the stone cutter. And I'm never lifnei Hashem. And then I can never truly achieve simcha. And especially this year, it's hard work. It's hard. Ivdu as Hashem b'simcha, mizmor l'soda. Ivdu, be an eved. Work hard. It's not easy. Just like it's not easy to cultivate and hew the side of the mountain. You got to work at the simcha. And this year when everything, the world is upside down between politics and the pandemic, OMG! Literally, pun is intended. Ribono shel Olam, that's where there's simcha. Do you want to know the secret to simcha, the Torah says? U'simachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim. For 7 days of the week, you will be happy if you recognize that you are always before God. Another story my mother told me was about a man who suffered from extreme poverty, and with this I will end. One day he prayed for a miracle that would make him rich. The next morning when he awoke, he found a purse near his bed. He opened the purse. He found a dollar bill. He removed the dollar bill. Another one appeared in its place. He was going to be a millionaire. He was overjoyed. He kept pulling out dollar bills. 3 days later, he was found dead, lying on a huge pile of dollar bills. I used to take my children to my mother to hear her stories, he concludes. They loved to listen to her. I regret that I did not stay to listen to them, too. I might have become much wiser. Coming up to the Festival of Sukkos, we have a mitzvah to take the Dalad Minim. We have a mitzvah to rejoice before the Ribono Shel Olam. And when you make sure your Esrog and Ulu of this kosher, and I'm not making Chalila V'chas Leitzonos, it should be kosher. And it's geschmack if you want to take your magnifying glass and you want to take it to your Rav to make sure it's kosher. Great! Good! Fulfill the mitzvah! But that, says Rabbi Biderman, is one day d'oraisa. Simcha? 7 days. So I can't forget to take the magnifying glass to myself too, to examine myself. And if I find that simcha is a little bit lacking, ivdu, I have to make myself into an eved, to work to acquire, because it won't come from anywhere external. It will only come from being, from living, from serving, from rejoicing, from closeness to the Ribono Shel Olam, the Samach, the Bechagacha, the Hayisa Ach Samach. I thank you so much for inviting me to speak. I thank you for learning with me this evening. I thank you for your time. Thank you to the sponsors as well. Kol Tov, everybody.